I have a sermon on my heart I'm going to deliver to you, but I have another issue burning in my heart regarding the body of Christ. I want to thank you for the offering, the blessing it'll be upon Joyce and myself. We'll be going Wednesday to the West Coast, Costa Mesa, where I serve on the board of directors of Hermano Pablo, Latin American ministry in radio and television throughout the Latin American countries. And that money will be used for that purpose. Thank you for making that available. That's going to be a missions offering, I assure you. We have been concerned in the past few months, we meaning my wife and myself and the church staff, concerned about the fact that we feel that God is moving again in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit is stirring the coals of the fire of our hearts. Amen. Because we believe that Jesus is preparing the church for his coming. We know this, it's not the will of God that any man perish, any person perish, but that all come to repentance. Amen. So we know in the time preceding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a time of revival. It's going to be a time of great ingathering of souls because this is the will of God. And God would not have any to be lost. And I believe in the deep of my heart that Jesus is coming soon. I'm teaching a series on this on Wednesday night, The Road to His Return. And we've observed that Jesus Christ is making a clear path for his return. And he's awakening people and stirring our hearts. There's more people talking about the coming of the Lord, and there's more people expecting his return. The first century church expected the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the imminent return. They got up every morning expecting him to come before sundown. Amen. Every morning they got up with the idea that he would come before the sun would go down. And they lived with that expectancy. And dear friends, I think we should live with that expectancy. Amen. We know that the Lord comes for people through death. We know that all the time. Death is among us. And God comes to people, and their eternal destiny is sealed at the moment of that death. We know that. But we also know that Jesus is coming back for the church. He's coming back for those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, coming back for those that are looking for his appearing, those that are longing for his return. And we can check our own hearts and check our own minds and our own spirits. Now, frankly, I haven't heard a lot of sermons on the second coming of the Lord in the last few years. I haven't heard a lot of conversation about the second coming of the Lord. If we believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to talk about it.
That's right.
We're going to think about it. Anything that's that imminent. And that word imminent is a word that was used in the description of the posture of the church. And that means any day he will come. Is it possible he'll come before the sun rises tomorrow morning? Yes, it is possible.
Yeah.
In fact, historians have said, and archaeologists have spoken to the fact that all the things that need to be fulfilled before Jesus comes could be filled tonight while we're sleeping. So rest assured, Jesus is coming again, and the question is, are you ready? And if you are ready, stay ready.
Amen.
Get under the blood of Jesus and stay under the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know of anything more exciting to me than the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. I want to be in that first load.
Amen.
The Bible says that's the first resurrection we should strive for. And we know the second group is going to be judged before they ever get out of the ground. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Are you ready to meet the Lord?
Amen.
There's only one way to do that, and that's through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be washed in the blood and be under the blood. We're blood-washed people. And I know that may not be a popular conversation. It may not be a popular sermon. It may not be a popular interest in the church today. But rest assured, it's going to become a whole lot more popular in the next few months. Because the Holy Spirit is stirring the souls of the church, the heart of the church. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. When I was a kid, and that's a long time ago, I can remember that in our church services, you could take the hymnal and open it up, just let it fall open where it would, and it would probably open up on the song Jesus is Coming Soon, or He's Coming Again. This one of the songs on the second catalog, because we sang one of those songs every Sunday. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. One of the 11 songs concerning the rapture that was in our hymnal, we would sing one of those and knew them well. And seemed like there was more interest in His coming then and more expectancy then than we've had for years. You know, we have to be careful that we don't fall asleep. We have to stay awake, stay alert, be mindful of the things that God has spoken to our hearts. The devil wants us to sleep. He'll say, yeah, Jesus is coming again. Sure, He's coming again, but it's a long ways off. You don't have to concern yourself with the immediate situation, because His coming, look, it's been over 2,000 years since the first century church dealt with this, and He hasn't come yet, so what makes you think He's going to come the next 24 hours? You know how the devil talks, and people believe him. Don't believe him, he's a liar. And the father of lies, there's no truth in him. Jesus is coming soon. I said, Jesus is coming soon. I told the congregation that God lets Joyce and I pastor, I need to correct something. I said this morning I was retired, and I really am. I'm officially retired, but I'm retired as a co-pastor, which simply means I have hours and duties at the church. And my hours and duties, on Tuesdays I counsel, and on Wednesdays I prepare my heart for the study of the Word, because I teach the Wednesday night Bible study. And then Sunday, I'm doing whatever needs to be done and so forth, and worship, of course. So I have assignments there 3 days out of seven. Well, that's retirement. You got 4 days that you can, I can do what Joyce wants me to do. And we're enjoying this time, this special time that we have together, that is so meaningful to both of us. Tonight, I want to talk to you about bundles of benefits. I want to just open up a portion of God's Word to you and pray the Holy Spirit will breathe upon you and show you what God is showing me from Psalms 103. You might want to turn there. And if you can get a piece of paper, I noticed in your bulletin this morning there was some note page on the back. But if you want to take some notes, I'll make it clear when we come to those areas. And I'm going to go through this rather quickly, so unless you have a mind like a steel trap, you need to take some notes so that you can look back over them. And by the way, I want you just to refresh yourself throughout the week with Psalms 103, because God recites here bundles of benefits that He has provided for the church. And how many of you know you are the church? Amen. You are the church. Individually and collectively, we are the church. And the church is very personal, friends. We are very personal to God the Father, and we're very personal to Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit, and we need to maintain that personalness. Let me read Psalms 103. Father, in Jesus' name, as we read your word, breathe upon it by the Holy Spirit, and help us, Father, that we might understand everything that you'd have us to receive tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 103, verse 1, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless His holy name, or He is worthy. I got to be careful. I need to just read this and not comment on it, because I'll stop and start preaching and spend 15 minutes on one word. So I'll go on through. Bless the Lord, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. I got to get away from that right away. There's time to be spent in that. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life with destruction from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. And plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So far has he removed our sins from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenants, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over them. Bless the Lord, ye angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget. There's danger in forgetting. There's danger in forgetting. That's why it's to read the Word of God often. That's why it's important for us to worship often. That's why it's important to take Holy Communion often. That's why it's important for us to fellowship one with another. Because we forget. We soon forget and walk away from the very thing that we once embraced with passion. And so we need to realize that these are things we need to keep in mind and not allow them to be forgotten. Verse 3 says, and I want to just go through several of these benefits that he has mentioned to us. He said, all of our iniquities, he forgives all of our sins. I'm glad for that little word, all. Yes. He doesn't just forgive some of them and say, I'll give thought about the others. Amen. Come back next month and we'll talk about it. He forgives all we give to him. Amen. Yes. All we give to him, he forgives. All we ask of him, he does. You know, sometimes I think we allow our faith to be short of what God wants us to be. There is greater faith in our hearts than we will release. But God wants us to release our faith to him, wants us to release our understanding. And whatever level of understanding you have, if you release that faith to God, he'll raise you to another level. Every time you have an exercise of faith, you're raised to another level. You're raised to another level. But when you stop, you cease to move. And then you start retreating. You start dropping. So God has called us to the fact that he forgives all of our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's that word all again. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's the second benefit? Who healeth all thine diseases. Is there a disease that Jesus can't heal? Is there a condition of our body, mind, or soul that he cannot cure? He can handle every situation. And here he says, he healeth all of our diseases. I tell the congregation sometimes, the reason we pray at Braeswood is because we've discovered that God answers prayer. Amen. You know, when you discover that God answers prayer, you like to pray. Amen. If you don't know, then your prayers are stuttering prayers and questionable prayers and weak prayers because you don't know. But hang around a while. If you keep praying, God will answer your prayers and build you up in faith so that you can believe. And he will heal all of your diseases, all of them. I don't care how awesome the disease is. I don't care how horrible the doctor paints the picture. And all he is doing or she is doing is painting the picture they understand. But God understands more than the doctor. He goes beyond the comprehension of the human mind. He's the creator and sustainer of all. He is able, and he heals all of our diseases. Say all.
All.
He forgives all of our sins. Say all.
All.
I like that word.
Amen.
Our pastor, Steve Banning, was preaching the other morning on the greatest word in the Bible. The greatest word in the Bible. And that greatest word in the Bible, according to his sermon, was forgiveness or forgiven. You are forgiven. Now, isn't that a great word? If that word wasn't in the Bible, we'd be of all people most miserable. But that word is in there. He healeth all our diseases. He forgives all of our sins. All. Say it again.
All.
Say it again.
All.
Remember that. He saves us from all of our sins. Here's another thing to remember about this. And this is verse 4. Who redeemeth your life from destruction. Actually, it means to rescue from the pit. And this is the third benefit. He redeems us from destruction. How many of you have ever been on the very precipice of destruction and was withdrawn or saved from that by Jesus Christ? Many of us. Many of us have had that experience. Right on the edge. But God redeemed us. God forgave us. God rescued us. John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Doesn't matter whether you're alive or dead, you're going to live. He is speaking a word of truth regarding eternity. And John 11:26 said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? God heals us to destroy death. Here's a fourth benefit. Verse 4. Who crowneth you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness and tender mercies. He covers you with that. Loving kindness. How many of you would say about yourself, I am a loving person? This isn't a trick question. It's an assessment, a personal assessment. God wants us to be a loving person. Not just love your family. You know, anybody can love a family. Well, there are times. There are moments. But God wants us to be loving people. And he's called us to be that. Who crowneth you with loving kindness? He crowns us with loving kindness. His covenant is one of compassion. He is the royal authority in love and mercy. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Feel up there. Take your hand and feel up there. You feel the crown? There's a crown up there. He crowns us with loving kindness. And people are not going to see the crown. They're going to see your loving kindness. And know that it is a crown. And then the fifth benefit in this Psalms 103 is he satisfies your mouth with good things. How many of you had lunch this afternoon? It was good, wasn't it? God blesses us with good food, clean food, well-cooked food, well-seasoned food. You ladies, without a question, are great cooks. Some of you men are good cooks. Some of you are not. But God blesses us with good cooks, and we enjoy. Have you ever been in a country where they told you not to drink the water? Have you ever been to a country where they told you not to eat the food? God can sanctify anything to our welfare. He said that.
Amen.
But he wants us to use good sense. And he satisfies our mouth with good things. Number 6. Psalms 103, God cares for his own. God is my father. I am his child. He has the responsibility of my care. He said he did. And said he'd fulfill that responsibility. He cares for his own. Psalms 103:6 says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all that are oppressed. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here's another Psalms 103 blessing. God is not hiding, he is revealing himself to you. Psalms 103:7, he knows, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of God. His acts to the children of God. The Exodus was God's plan to reveal the glory of God in the care of his children. You know, I think about the time that the Israelites were being delivered from Pharaoh's bondage, and the plagues would come, and not one plague would touch the land of Goshen. Not one thing would mark the children in the promised land, the Israelites at that day. And even when the firstborn of all living died, they didn't have the blood over the doorpost. The Bible says not even a dog barked in Goshen. God separated his people, and he made it clear to the whole world that his children were his and he was taking care of them. Amen. No matter what was going on around him and what was falling apart around him, he was going to take care of his own children. One of the great statements and one of the reasons why Pharaoh finally lamented was the fact he observed that the children of Israel were kept by the hand of God and that the others perished. Now, again, I've already told you I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I'm going to tell you something that I feel in the deep of my heart. The day will come, and it will come during our lifespans, I believe, when we will see God protect his children, where others will perish and lament strong and grievous assaults upon their person and their things, where God's children will be kept. You know, he said that if we eat anything or drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm us.
Amen.
God has given us scripture in the Bible to make it clear, and he's given us precedences in the Bible to make it clear that he can make a statement to the world anytime he wants to.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I believe the time will come when there will be great devastation and great loss of life, but not a Christian's life will be touched. And that's going to get the attention of the world.
Yes.
And because it's not going to be anything we've done. It's not going to be anything we could do. But it's going to be something that God did to make his statement and to make a claim upon the souls. You study the book of Revelation and study the tribulation period and study the millennial reign, and you can see in some of those situations that occur that God's hand is upon his children. Especially upon them. I'm really looking forward. I'm not looking forward to lamentation and destruction. I don't mean that. I don't want to be misunderstood. But I'm looking forward to displays of God's mercy and grace and God's boldness, because I'll tell you why. It's going to be the means of the salvation of a lot of people. And that will be the reason God does it. I believe that most of the things that God does is for purpose of bringing people into the kingdom, establishing people in the kingdom, and proclaiming his testimony loudly and strongly in a world that's lost without Christ. I'm praying for our president. I'm praying for that man. We need to hold him up in prayer. He has horrible decisions to make. He has decisions to make that a human being shouldn't have to make. And I'm praying that he will know the mind of God. I'm convinced he's a praying man. And I'm convinced that he's gathered people around him that are praying people.
Amen.
In fact, I know that. I know that to be a fact. I know personally Brother Ashcroft. I've worked with his father on many occasions. That boy was raised in prayer. I've never known a stronger prayer warrior in my life than Brother Ashcroft's father. To his dying day, he was a prayer warrior. And whatever committee we served on, his heart was in prayer. That part of our committee was always prayer. And I appreciated that. And I do know that they have prayer meetings at 7 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 and 7 o'clock in the morning. The president's cabinet, those that want to be there, it's not compulsory, they are there. And the president attends often. And I've received word from those who know that there have been many times when he had to make major decisions that he asked to be excused and went into his office and locked the door for prayer. You know, a man be out of his mind not to do that.
Amen.
Truly, a person with clear thinking capacity be out of his mind not to seek the counsel of God and ask the presence of God in the decisions that have to be made. God has given us many blessings, and I'm just reciting a few here that I want you to know. Here's another blessing from Psalms 103, verses 18 through 12. How many of you, throughout life, you want what you have coming? You folks are cautious. Boy, I'll tell you, you've been trapped somewhere, tricked somewhere. I'll tell you, this is a cautious bunch, fire of soul. Nobody likes to be trapped. How many of you feel like you really should receive what you deserve? Nobody wants what you deserve. You don't even want what you got coming, do you? What you want is to get out. Just get out of this situation with it. Yeah, well, that's true. I'll tell you one thing. I don't want what I deserve. Amen. If we got what we deserved, we'd all be gone, yes, lost, yes, tormented. Yes. God doesn't give us what we deserve. Aren't you glad we have that kind of God?
Amen.
Listen to this, verse 8, Psalms 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Think of that. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I don't need what I deserve.
Amen.
What I need is mercy.
Yes.
And I'm going to plead my cause. It's going to be on the side of mercy, yes, and grace. Because God is a merciful God, and he will forgive us. But you know, the sad thing about it is that there's so many people bearing the burden of sin and are hell-bound on their way to hell, and they just haven't asked God for help. But he's there to help them. He's there to assist them. And unfortunately, most of us won't ask for help unless the bottom falls out, unless the top is blown off, or there's some tragedy strikes us. Then we start thinking about help from God. But we need to ask early and right on. He is merciful and kind, and his love endureth. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great are the mercies toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God is slow to anger, merciful, gracious, abounding in mercy. Aren't you glad for that? John 1:29 says, the next day John, seeing Jesus, said unto him, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Merciful God. And don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his benefits. You know, every time I hear somebody on television or the radio talking about, they're selling something, and they want to tell you about all its benefits, I think of this verse. All his benefits. A missionary told me one time they were in an airport picking up some friends that were coming to minister with them and to them. And when their friends came, before they could get through immigration, they were waiting a while in there, and they were talking about God, talking about the love of God, and talking about what God is doing and so forth. You know how ministers do when they get together, talking like that. Lay people do the same thing. And it's beautiful. It should be done. Talking about Jesus, the benefits, the great benefits that God has provided for us. And after they kind of broke up and people started drifting off, a man came over and tapped his missionary on the shoulder, one of the nationals. And he said to him, I hear you talking about your God. I don't know a God like that. I want to know, would you introduce me to your God? Wow. Would you introduce me to your God? And I never heard of a God that loves, a God that is kind, a God that forgives, a God that is there for me. And he just logged all the things they'd been talking about. He said, I don't know a God like that, and the God I serve is not like that. I'd like to meet your God.
Amen.
That's really what testimony is all about, and that's what sharing is all about, and that's what benefits are all about. God provides us with these benefits so that we can tell others about them. Whatever God has done for you, He never did it just for you. He did it for you and others. And everything He has given us, every gift God has given us, has been designed to bless the church. That's why when you have an opportunity to join in on this Easter festival and be a part of this, you can do that. Some of you have never been in a church play. You've never been in an activity like that. Sign up.
Yes.
Sign up tonight. Be do it for the first time. You should be doing first-time things all the time.
Yes.
Keeps you alive and sharp. You didn't pay me to do that, did you? No, that's the pastor's heart. That's my shepherding instinct, to encourage you to be a part of what God is doing and to talk. These benefits, the church that God allows us to minister in, we have witnesses that go out, as you do in this church, I'm sure, and all churches nearly, and witness and share. And nothing blesses me more than to drive down the street and see people standing, holding hands, with their heads bowed, praying. Publicly, right out in broad daylight, right on the boulevard. Or to see people in a hospital elevator or in the hallway holding hands and praying. You know, God convicted me of something several years ago. People would come and they would give me a prayer request and share a burden with me, and I'd tell them, I'll take that to the Lord in prayer. I will pray over that. And I meant that. I meant I would do it. But then when you get out of there and other things are coming up and other demands and other activities, I found out sometimes I didn't pray for them. And the Holy Spirit brought me up short one day, and I was saying this again, I'll join you in prayer. I'll make that a part of my prayer life. And the Holy Spirit said, really? You mean you're really going to do that? And I said to God, of course, yes, I just said it. You know, I'm going to do it. He said, how many other times have you said it and you didn't do it? And the Holy Spirit convicted me right then and said to my heart, if you know somebody that needs prayer, why don't you pray for them right there?
Yes.
Why don't you say to them right there, let's bow our heads and pray. Or let's kneel and pray, or whatever seems to be appropriate. Let's do it right here, right now, on the elevator, in the hallway, in the shop, wherever we are. Pray right. I don't mean you have to pray at the top of your lungs. You know, some people are foolish with their faith. God doesn't want to make a spectacle out of yourself, but you could bow your head and you could pray, and I mean pray audibly, but pray in a normal tone. Can I hear a witness to that?
Amen.
Joyce and I, when we're in a restaurant and we see people bow their head and pray, we make a note of that. And we have been known to go to the table and thank them for doing that publicly and encourage them to do it publicly. And the whole world needs to know that there's a living faith in this world. And He has given us bundles of benefits, and every one of these benefits is to be used to share in the community, in the home, in the church, wherever you are, and make faith alive. Make faith alive. No telling what God will do. You know, most of the ministry of Jesus Christ was out in the open.
Amen.
It was right out in the street, right out in the place where the people lived, in the trail, in the road. He ministered right where the need was existent. I believe God wants us to do that.
Amen.
You know, you can kind of get eyes. I remember one time I was down in downtown Houston, doing something down there, and I come out of the office building where I was doing business to get in my car, and I saw a member of the church, Brazewood, getting in his car, and we recognized each other, and I went over to him, and the poor guy was having a terrible day. It's one of those days that started upside down, and he was really low, and I said, you know, I think we ought to just pray right here and ask God to break that. Because God's the Lord of your day. And you don't have to go through the rest of this day with this burden on your back. Let's pray right now. And we just held hands and began to pray. While we stood there holding hands, people went by, catcalls and all kinds of things were said. And then when we were through, I grabbed him and he grabbed me and we hugged each other in a bear hug and the other eyes were red. You know, I have to let those things happen. As far as I'm concerned, I have to let those things happen rather than draw myself into a cocoon and not even willing to speak or even whisper publicly. I'm not ashamed of my faith. If people see what's going on, think it's something else, they just have to deal with that. But I believe with all my heart, God is wanting to take the church out of the box.
Yes, amen. That's right.
And take the church out of where we always have been and where we are and where we feel comfortable and get into an area where we may not feel that comfortable, but where God wants us to be a voice and a witness.
That's right. Yes.
I said this morning, and I'm going to repeat it. I believe in the deep of my heart and my spirit, I feel this. This church is on the verge of a tremendous surge forward in the ingathering of souls. And the only thing you're going to worry about in a few months or a few years is not enough space. Because there are people here that are lost without Christ. Where you work, where you shop, where you play, there are people that are lost without Jesus Christ, and they're waiting for an answer. They're waiting for a question. They're waiting for a reply, a response from you. And I believe with all my heart there's a lot of people looking for a church home just like this one.
Yes.
Where you warmly receive your guests, where people are welcome and they're received and they're going to come and they're going to stay. They're going to be part of this body.
Yes.
I believe God is preparing this church.
Yes.
God is preparing you in a mighty way. And all the benefits that He's arranged for you, all the joy He's arranged for you, all the covenants He's provided for you, all of this is for you to share. Not for you to hoard, not for you to take and put in the bank, but for you to use. All of the blessings you've received are to be used in the marketplace of life. And I believe with all my heart that God is speaking to all of our churches, that we're to take the message out. Thank God for all His benefits, for all His blessings, all of the joy that He has prepared for us. God is merciful and God is kind. Don't forget that benefit. He's merciful and kind. I'm glad you invited me to come and minister to you today. I have enjoyed it, and I appreciate your fellowship, and I appreciate the time that God has given us together. And I want you to know that God has His hand on this church. God has His hand on this pastoral family.
Yes.
And as you bind together and work together, He will fulfill His most holy will and His holy desire. And I beg of you to be a church that will be a whomsoever church.
Yes.
A whomsoever church.
Yes.
Whomsoever will, let them come.
Amen.
And they will be received. You know, God's people comes in all flavors. God's people comes in all colors.
That's right.
And I want you to know that God is colorblind.
That's right.
He only sees one color, and that's red.
That's right.
That's the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And He's calling us to be one in Christ Jesus. John 17, read it. He speaks to that point.
Yes.
Don't forget the benefits. Psalms 103, you can keep that in your heart, keep it in your hand, mark it in your Bible, go to it. Sometimes two or three times a day, depending on the kind of day you have. It's all in there.
Yes.
All of the benefits are in there.
Yes.
And He says, don't forget them. Don't forget them. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I want to thank You for the opportunity we've had together here this evening and to share the Word of God and to worship. Lord, I thank You for a congregation that loves to worship, a congregation that feels the heartbeat of God. And I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that You'll minister to this congregation right now. Even as I pray, the Holy Spirit that has listed all the benefits, all the beautiful benefits from Psalms 103. Lord Jesus, I pray that we will invest in those benefits. Open our heart and let Jesus pour them in. And then use them as we express ourselves in our community and in our place of work. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, if there's anyone in this room that needs an awakening in their heart, needs a spirit of awakening in their spirit, that You'll speak to their heart right now. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will awaken us and help us all that we might know you as Lord and Savior. Know you as greater dimension than we've ever known you before. And Father, thank you for allowing Joyce and me to come to this church today, share our hearts. That's all we've done, just simply shared our heart with them. And I pray that you'll quicken them in Jesus' name. While I'm praying, I'm thinking, how many in the congregation are thinking of people that you know need Christ? You have a burden upon your heart for them. And God has piqued your interest and has sparked your interest in reference to their salvation. It might be a family member. It might be somebody you're working with. It might be somebody you just casually know. It might be somebody you know real well. They need Christ. And you're willing to be an instrument of righteousness. If God would choose, you're willing to be an instrument of righteousness to bring them to Christ. If you know somebody that needs Christ and your heart is burdened for their salvation, would you stand right now? I'm talking about somebody specific. If we would ask you, that name would come just like that. And God would use you. I believe with all my heart that you that are standing are also saying, God, use me to bring them to Calvary. God, use me. God, pour into my heart the words you want me to say to them. Help me to know what you'd have me to do regarding them. And help me to pray until. I have a brother that's 4 years older than me that was a working alcoholic for years. I mean, he was drunk all weekend, but he was sober enough to go to work on Monday. My mother told me the last thing she said before she died. She was a minister of the gospel, raised 10 children, pastored churches. And the last thing she said to me when God called her home was, son, all of my children will be saved before they die. She said, God has promised me that. Well, I said, thank you for sharing that with me. And I wanted to believe that, but I just didn't hardly have faith to believe that that meant my brother. He was just too far over the hill. And I'm sorry, I just didn't have the faith. But God kept pouring his interest into my heart. I kept praying for him, and I kept asking others to pray with me for his salvation. Well, to make a long story short, one day, one ordinary day, God spoke to his heart. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saved, born again. He's not filled with the Holy Spirit as far as I know, but he's going to church regularly, and I appreciate that. But it took years. It took years. Years of travail and prayer. But just holding on to one thing, and that was God has promised salvation to all people. It's not his will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. I want you that are standing to just come up here and join me for just a minute. You're already standing. Just walk on up here and stand around the altar here for a minute. We're going to offer a prayer. We're going to offer a prayer of salvation. We're going to offer a prayer of reception as we receive what God has promised. Now, just looking at everybody that's coming, it looks like the whole congregation's coming. This simply means that when God answers your prayer, you're going to have a lot of new converts coming to this church. And God's in the business of doing that. And you know what happens when a new convert comes to the church? They know more sinners than you do. Those that are unconverted know sinners, and they know sin. And their heart and their passion for souls is going to boil out on those others, and they're going to be saved. Amen. It's just the way it works. Just the way it works. Pastor, come up here and join me. Now, you pray your prayer. I'm not going to put words into your mouth. You've prayed that prayer already 100 times or more, some of you. Let's pray that prayer right now, and let's believe, because we have received his benefits, and salvation are one of those benefits. Let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you with thankful hearts, and we thank you, Jesus, for the provision you've made for us through your Son. Father, you sent your Son to this world to die that we might be freed from all of our sins, and everybody we associate with have also been called to be free from their sins. And I pray the burden that fills the hearts of these people at this altar will be the burden that will stimulate them to live the life before and to witness and to be a challenge and a testimony before the people that they work with and they live near and that they live perhaps even in the same house with them. Father, in Jesus' name, bring salvation to this household. Bring salvation to this church. Bring a revival of souls to this church, Lord, I pray. We release our prayers, we release our faith, we release our hope, we release all the benefits you've given us, Lord, and we will rehearse these in the presence of the assembly, and we'll rehearse these in the presence of the lost, Lord, that souls might be swept into the kingdom. We pray your blessings upon Pastor. We pray you'll bless him, Lord, in his trip. Bring him back safely, Lord.